Genesis chapter 44, I desire that we read this morning from the beginning, first 10 verses, with the help of our Heavenly Father. And he commanded the steward of his house, saying, "Fill the men's sacks with food, as much as they can carry, and put every man's money in his sack's mouth, and put my cup, the silver cup, in the sack's mouth of the youngest, and his corn money." And he did according to the word that Joseph had spoken. As soon as the morning was light, the men were sent away, they and their asses. And when they were gone out of the city, and not yet far off, Joseph said unto his steward, "Up, follow after the men. And when thou dost overtake them, say unto them, Wherefore have you rewarded evil for good? Is not this it, in which my Lord drinketh, and whereby indeed he divineth? Ye have done evil in so doing." And he overtook them, and he spake unto them these same words. And they said unto him, "Wherefore saith my Lord these words? God forbid that thy servants should do according to this thing. Behold, the money which we found in our sacks' mouths, we brought again unto thee out of the land of Canaan. How then should we steal out of thy Lord's house silver or gold? With whomsoever of thy servants it be found, both let him die, and we also will be my Lord's bondmen." And he said, "Now also let it be according unto your words. He with whom it is found shall be my servant, and ye shall be blameless." This far I desire that we read in our first reading this morning from the word of our Lord. And now, before we proceed on with our schedule, let us kneel down to worship our Heavenly Father and our Lord Jesus Christ in prayer and thanksgiving to his name. Gracious Lord, our loving Heavenly Father, we pray for thy guidance and inspiration in our meeting this day, in our worshiping thy holy name, O Lord. We pray that thou grant us thy spirit of peace, and that thou renew the joy of thy salvation, as we just sang, to honor and to glorify thy holy name, O Lord. May the words of these songs remain in our hearts and comfort us and strengthen us as we journey through this barren land to the land of thy holy promises. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we pray that thou fill our hearts with deepest gratitude for thy salvation in Christ, for thy wonderful grace, and thy abiding Holy Spirit that is our corrector, our guide, and our protector. Lord God Almighty, thou make our hearts open to thy holy word, and our minds thou illuminate with thy truth. We pray, O Heavenly Father, that with gratitude and love we may worship thee in spirit and in truth, exalting thy most holy name, and yet walking ourselves in meekness on the path of righteousness. Loving Heavenly Father, we confess before thee, knowing that thou art all-knowing God and nothing can be hidden from thee, and that by acknowledging our true condition of our hearts before thee, we may receive, O Heavenly Father, thy gentle and mighty healing power. We acknowledge before thee, O Lord, that many are our shortcomings and mistakes, and often we are disturbed by the meaningless and worthless things of this world. Often our enemy will succeed for a moment in confusing us or stealing away, disturbing our peace that thou hast given us. We pray, O Heavenly Father, that thou grant us strong faith, and thou remove all doubts and fears. Strong faith give unto us in thy goodness and thy mercy, and high respect for thy holy word. Thou forgive us our weaknesses, shortcomings, mistakes, every disobedience, O Lord. Thou purify our inner man, purify our thinking, emotions, affections, and give us holy thinking, pure Christian affections and spiritual emotions, that we may rejoice in thy holy word as we see the day of thy coming approaching. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy great goodness and mercy that is following us in all the days of our pilgrimage, for this green pasture of thine and the fountain of living water which thou hast opened unto us in Christ. Lord God Almighty, our heart's desire and our sincere and fervent prayer unto thee is that thy word may be powerful in our hearts, and that we may be united in Christ in that same desire to do thy will, thy good pleasure, and to proclaim this gospel far and wide as thou hast commanded us, O Lord. And as we strive to serve thee, Holy Father, thou be always with us. May the gentle and mighty power of thy Holy Spirit be manifested in us. We pray, O Lord, that thou continually have thy victory in us, thy kingdom in our hearts, that we also may be thy beloved children, the heirs of the heavenly kingdom, and the bearers of the holy testimonies, Lord. We know that our adversary, the devil, is roaming around and looking for an opportunity to make some damage and to cause us to sin against thee, O Lord. But we pray that thou make us alert, that thou keep us on guard, and yet thou give us always new peace and new joy, the joy of thy salvation, the peace of thy forgiveness, and also, Heavenly Father, give us the peace of thy forgiveness through us to the others. Grant us that pure Christian, loving and forgiving heart, a peaceful, peacemaking soul, and a mind that is seeing and understanding multitudes of signs, clear indications of thy loving kindnesses toward thy children. Gracious Lord, today again we pray that thou heal the sick and strengthen the weak, and thou, O Heavenly Father, open the eyes of the blind and cause the lame to walk on thy pathway. Thou, O Heavenly Father, cleanse the lepers and give hearing to the deaf and eyesight to the blind. All thy healing power, thou, Lord, manifest through this holy word of thine. Proclaim thy gospel and move the hearts that thou art calling unto thee, and deliver the souls which thou hast redeemed, O Lord, that thy people may be united in the beauty of thy holiness in this day of thy battle, for thine is the victory, O God. We pray that the name of Christ be exalted among us, and that thou, O Lord, with thy goodness and mercy, be with those that are lonely, that are far away from one another, and that would gladly join us as we worship thy holy name. We pray, O Heavenly Father, that thy Spirit may join them as they approach thy holy word as the bread of heaven. Thou grant comfort, thou grant peace, thou renew the joy of thy salvation, thou add to the strength that they need to overcome the enemy in every situation, every day. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we pray that thou give us much more than we can ask, and that according to thy good pleasure and thy will, O Lord, every one of thy children may be blessed by thee. Fill us with thy presence and make us, O Heavenly Father, truly and lastingly thine, that after this short pilgrimage of ours, O Lord, we may come to the source of all goodness and mercy and see thy great and majestic throne and worship thee and praise thy holy name and there acknowledge with all the redeemed ones, united with the heavenly host, praising and glorifying thy name, how great thou art. Amen. Let us continue our reading from this same chapter 44 of the book of Genesis, first book of the Holy Scripture. Let us continue on the verse number 11 and read to the verse number 17, seven more verses with the help of our Lord. Then they speedily took down every man his sack to the ground and opened every man his sack. And he searched and began at the eldest and left at the youngest, and the cup was found in Benjamin's sack. Then they rent their clothes and laded every man his ass and returned to the city. And Judah and his brethren came to Joseph's house, for he was yet there. And they fell before him on the ground. And Joseph said unto them, What deed is this that ye have done? Wot ye not that such a man as I can certainly divine? And Judah said, What shall we say unto my Lord? What shall we speak? Or how shall we clear ourselves? God hath found out the iniquity of thy servants. Behold, we are my Lord's servants, both we and he also with whom the cup is found. And he said, God forbid that I should do so. But the man in whose hand the cup is found, he shall be my servant. And as for you, get you in peace unto your father. This far it is our that we read in our second reading from this so moving and in so many points emotional record. We see here that the same thing happens, or a similar thing happened the second time in their experience. Judah and his brethren did not stop for a moment to check their bags, their sacks, before they took off. First time, when they came into an inn, to a place where they would lodge for the night, or at least rest for a time, they opened their sacks, and they find it. Actually, one of them opened his sack to feed his animal, and he found the money returned back, and he was afraid. When they came back home, they find that the same thing happened to all of them. Their money is returned back into their sacks. And they were very much concerned, afraid. They were worrying about that. Why was their money returned to them? And now, the second time, they are, after they ate and drank with Joseph, and they were somewhat relieved of their fear, and early in the morning, they take off again without checking to see what happened. Did something happen as first time? Why should they find out later on when they are far away? These people did not learn yet to be on guard. And I find that a difficulty in my experience, in my battle. And I'm afraid it is a difficulty for quite a few of us, that we are not on guard, we are not always ready to do what we know the will of the Lord is. Perhaps we need much more meditation, much more prayers, and somehow to ask from the Lord to be on guard and yet not to be in constant fear or worry. How can we be relaxed and yet being on guard? We see our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, whenever anyone of the opposition of the gospel, the enemies of the message of the Lord, would approach him and ask a question, he always was ready to give the proper answer. But then, sometimes he was just quiet. And I wonder if that is not one of the weapons that we should use. The moment that I'm surprised and I don't know what to do, do nothing. Just do nothing. Wait on the Lord. And if the other side is urging a quick action, no. Just wait. Just wait. Let me think about that. You see, the enemy, the adversary of our souls, is using confusion and haste. Not to allow us time to think and figure out what I'm supposed to do. If I don't know what to do at the moment, I shouldn't do anything. What might be our difficulty and our problem, or our weakness, or our stumbling block, is that we might think we know what we want to do, and yet we don't. That we are influenced by our personality. Either our weakness or our strength, which might be greater weakness than weakness. So, what I think these men should have done, they should have checked their sacks, searched through the sacks, and then say to the steward of the house, "My Lord, this is what we have found. We want to be sure that it is not a mistake. Why do we have these things in our sacks?" Well, they didn't do that, perhaps because it was not easy. I imagine that these sacks had to be packed up in a special way so that they can be secured for a long time, that the precious load would not be lost. And yet, they could have spared themselves a real trouble. On the other hand, I believe that this was of the Lord, that they passed through this lesson, through this experience. They seem to be very sure about their honesty, and in this case they might be sure. But then again, how is that before the Lord? If a man does something evil one moment, and then next moment he is honest and sincere, is that honesty and sincerity accepted before the Lord? A man that occasionally does some crime, is he a criminal? A man that is honest and faithful most of the time, is he godly? So, how can we know? Suppose that we have a cup of clean water and we drop a drop of dirty, polluted water in that cup. Is that clean water? So, what do we need before the Lord? Continual cleansing. Daily acknowledgement and confession before the Lord. And perhaps much more frequently than we are used to, confession to our fellow man. Our Lord and Savior taught his disciples, if thy brother comes to thee 70 times, 7 and say, "I'm sorry, I was wrong," forgive him. So, when we draw from that deep, how could we say, bottomless well of our God's forgiveness, then we will have more forgiveness for those around us. You see, when we are in the Lord, we are not our own. And we are not just a private entity or property. We are a channel through which the Lord is spreading the gospel. We are the instruments that He is graciously using to reach out to the others. And of course, our enemy would like to pollute that channel, to misguide the direction of the flow, and he would like to mar or damage the instruments that the Lord is using. And we, being aware of that, should be alert. But then, knowing the power and the goodness of our Lord, we should be at peace. Well, what happened, they said, to the steward of Joseph's house, we would never do anything like that. How could we ever steal? We even brought back the money that was returned to us, just in case it was some mistake. We want to be sure that everything is in order. We don't want anything that is not ours. We are honest people. And the steward says, let me search and find out. Let's prove. And they quickly take off the sacks and they untie, open the sacks, and they stand there. Why they didn't search themselves? Well, probably it would give a reason to the steward in the eyes of Jacob's sons to suspect them. If they are searching themselves, maybe they are trying to hide out something or hide away something. So they just stand still as true and really honest people. And the steward is searching from the oldest to the youngest. And he finds the cup in the sack of the youngest, of course, because the cup was placed there. Where could it be found? And so they rent their garments, their clothing, they put in a mess. Why? Because that was a sign of distress, an indication that it's just awful what happened to them. And so in such a condition, they come back to Joseph's house and they are just crushed. I cannot stop wondering and thinking what was in their minds. Did Judah and his brethren believe that Benjamin did steal the cup? Or did they feel deceived, tricked into something, falsely accused, and now they're going to be unjustly judged? Are they experiencing something of the experience that Joseph did experience when they grabbed him, stripped him of his garment, cast him into the pit, and then later on took him out, and still without his top garment, top coat, they sold him to go into a far land to be a slave and probably die very soon? Well, they come before Joseph and they fell down before him to the ground. Already their garments were torn and they look very desperate, and now they just cast themselves down to the ground before him. All of this indicates the condition of their heart and mind, but it also is designed to give a message to the governor of the land of Egypt. Perhaps he will have compassion on them if they really humble themselves down to the ground. And Judah said, what shall we say? Well, first, as they cast themselves down to the ground, apparently they were speechless for a moment. They wait for his first word. Well, Joseph did not treat them as Joseph was treated when Joseph was accused by Potiphar's wife, that ugly, filthy woman. Joseph's master didn't talk to Joseph, apparently, just grabbed him and cast him into the prison. While Joseph is talking to his brothers, why he has a lesson to teach them. The lesson is very hard. The lesson is harsh. The lesson is heartbreaking, but their hardened heart was not willing to learn in any other way but by heartbreaking. And so Joseph said, what deed is this that ye have done? Wot ye not that such a man as I can certainly divine? Now what are the words that he is saying? He didn't say expressly, you have stolen my cup. Well, now first, they all did that deed, or Benjamin did it, or what is the accusation? Well, the accusation apparently goes all the way back to that ugly, awful crime that these murderers did commit. This accusation is not really directed directly against Benjamin, but against Judas and his brothers. They did an awful thing long, long ago. Could they not know that a man like Joseph can divine? What does that mean? See the future? that God has revealed to Joseph in his dreams that their sheaves have to fall down before Joseph's sheaf. They should have thought, hey, how come our youngest or second youngest brother is dreaming these kind of dreams? Maybe the Lord is warning us that something is coming that we should be aware of or alert to. And so Judah, focusing on the thing that just happened, or perhaps having an outburst of the guilty conscience that was suppressed for so long, hiding and trying to help himself or get him away from the guilty conscience by forgetfulness or finding pleasures among the Gentiles, the heathen people, and in a life that was anything but godly and moral pure. Judah said, "What shall we say unto my Lord? What shall we speak? How shall we clear ourselves? God hath found out the iniquity of thy servants." Now, what did God find out? Did not God know everything all the time? Judas is becoming aware of God's knowledge, God's omnipotence. Perhaps Judas is focusing on the cup that was found in Benjamin's sack, possibly. It would be quite human, and I think that might be expected. But saying that God hath found out the iniquity of thy servants, suppose that Benjamin did, or maybe Judas believed that Benjamin did steal away the cup. But then what has that to do with the rest of the brothers? Why is Judah offering a confession that might not agree with the evidence that Judah had? Well, first, the answer is agreeing with Joseph's question. What deed is this that ye, plural, ye have done? And Judah said, God hath found out the iniquity of thy servants, all of us. Behold, we are my Lord's servants, both we and he also with whom the cup is found. Now this sounds to me like a desperate talk, like in the book of Judges, we know that awful story of the Levite that was attacked in Gibeah of Benjamin. And the host of the house said, "Do not commit such an awful thing, my brethren." He's talking to the wild, immoral, awful people of the city. And he says, "I have a daughter, and here is his wife. Who will give them to you?" Did this man give his daughter to these people? No. No, it was a desperate talk, an offer not to be accepted, an offer to generate, move some compassion. And Joseph answered, "God forbid that I should do so. The man in whose hand the cup is found, he shall be my servant." This word "servant" is not exactly what it means. It's a slave. Someone who has no recourse. He is sealed for the rest of his life in his terrible predicament. He will be a slave. He will be treated as an animal, as a piece of furniture, as a machine, as a tool, as the property of the slave owner. We see that when Potiphar, Joseph's master, received the accusation about Joseph. Joseph has nothing to say. He has no right to defend himself. He is not given any chance. Did they allow any rule of justice of some kind? No. No, they treated their own brother as a slave, as a thing that is lifeless, not a living soul that is precious in the sight of God. And so now they are in a situation very, very similar to that that they did to the other. And Joseph said, God forbid that I should do so. We see how the name of God is coming more frequently into their conversation. And maybe that will remind us that often the Lord will allow difficulties in our life, and sometimes those difficulties will persist and just hang in there, and we have to struggle and to suffer and all of that, that the name of God will be more often in our hearts, in our mind, in our prayers. So, the man in whose hand the cup is found, he shall be my servant, Joseph said. And as for you, get you in peace unto your father. Joseph is bringing everything into this picture. When they, long ago, Judah and his brethren, when they committed their sin against their brother, they committed sin against God. They also committed sin against their father. Everything is coming back. Everything is kind of crowding together, but everything is being placed in the proper place. Then Judah came near unto Joseph and said, O my Lord, let thy servant, I pray thee, speak a word in my Lord's ears, and let not thine anger burn against thy servant, for thou art even as Pharaoh. My Lord asked his servant, saying, Have ye a father or a brother? And we said unto my Lord, We have a father and an old man, and a child of his old age, a little one, and his brother is dead. See, they still stumble on that same thing. They cannot get rid of that wherever, whichever direction, whichever way they turn to, their sin is a stumbling block. They cannot make any progress until they openly confess, acknowledge their wrong, and separate them from their evil. So, he's talking, he's pleading, he's almost lamenting here, I feel, talking to Joseph. His brother is dead. Oh, his brother is very much alive, and he's listening to this Judas version of the whole story. And the youngest one alone is left of his mother, and his father loves him so much. And thou, O Lord, thou saidst unto thy servant, Bring him down unto me, that I may set mine eyes upon him. And we said unto my Lord, The lad cannot leave his father, for if he should leave his father, the father would die. And thou saidst unto thy servants, Except your youngest brother come down with you, ye shall see my face no more. And it came to pass, when we came up unto thy servant, my father, we told him the words of my Lord. And our father said, Go again and buy a little food. And we said, We cannot go down. If our youngest brother be with us, then we will go. For we may not see the man's face, except our youngest brother be with us. And thy servant, my father, said unto us, Ye know that my wife bare me 2 sons. And the one went out from me, and I said, Surely he is torn in pieces, and I saw him not since. Now, they're bringing before Joseph the details, how they presented the whole thing to their father Jacob. Probably Joseph knew a good part of it, but now the details are coming before him, and Joseph's heart is aching, the pressure is growing, and the load on his mind is getting too heavy. Joseph is a gentleman. Joseph is a loving man. And yet, Joseph is forcing himself to treat his brothers this way because they need that. And Judah is talking. And if ye, the words of Jacob their father, and if ye take this youngest one also from me, and mischief befall him. Ye shall bring down my gray hairs with sorrow to the grave. Now therefore, now Judah presented the agony of their father, the grief of their father to Joseph, and now Judas is presenting his petition. He is going to ask for something, for a favor. Now therefore, when I come to thy servant my father, and the lad be not with us, seeing that his life is bound up in the lad's life. What an expression. It just reminds me of the word of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I and the Father are one. I and the Father are one. Now think about the Son on the cross. Who is suffering more, the Son or the Father? What a mystery. What an awful sacrifice. What an awesome deed of redemption. Now Jesus is talking, and he says, seeing that the life of the Father is bound up in the life of his Son, it shall come to pass, when he seeth that the lad is not with us, that he will die. He cannot survive this agonizing grief. And now look at this. Judas is not saying to Joseph, and so my Lord will actually put to death my father. No. He says, Judah said, and thy servants, Judah and his brethren, thy servants shall bring down the gray hairs of thy servant our father with sorrow to the grave. Either Judah is blaming himself and his brethren for all that they did, or he's just accepting accusation and adding to it to somehow soften the heart of the governor of Egypt. And then Judah says, for thy servant became surety for the lad unto my father, saying, if I bring him not unto thee, then I shall bear the blame to my father forever. Now therefore, here is the petition. Now therefore, I pray thee, let thy servant abide instead of the lad a bondman to my Lord, and let the lad go up with his brethren. For how shall I go up to my father, and the lad be not with me, lest peradventure I see the evil that shall come on my father? And now Judah stopped. He has brought up everything that he had to say. Now the decision is on the side of the governor of Egypt. But the governor of Egypt is only the governor on the outside. Inside he is still Joseph, their brother, and especially the brother of Benjamin. So we know the story. Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him, and he cried, everybody out. And of course there is the steward, and there are the ruling servants and working servants, and quickly the room is vacated. They're all out. Only Joseph and his brethren are there. And Joseph could not speak. He wept aloud.